still our hearts in the presence of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before Thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that Thou wilt take of Thy word this day and write it upon our hearts. We pray that each and every one of us might know that Thou art God, and that, Lord, that Thou wilt be exalted among the heathen, and Thou wilt be exalted in the earth. We thank Thee for those that can truly know in the depths of their hearts the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob, He is our refuge. And we pray that each and every one of Your people will find that hiding place this morning in the midst of the storms or under the shadows of life. If I have Jesus, Jesus only, then I possess a cluster rare. And, O God, we pray in Jesus' name that each one might indeed know Jesus, the Lord Jesus, is their Savior and their friend. That friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That friend that's nearer than even hands or feet. Bless Thy word to our hearts now in the closing moments of our meeting. For we pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles, please, in this passage in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. It is the passage of God's Word we read last Lord's Day morning when God appeared to Elijah in the midst of his shadow, in the midst of the darkness of his own personal existence. And in the 19th chapter, verse 1, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. We'll end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing for his name's sake. Amen. We have been considering the dark shadows that fall across the life even of the child of God. The dark shadow of doubt. We looked at that and the reality of it and how many are plagued with the shadows of doubt. We looked last Lord's Day morning at the dark shadow of depression that was witnessed here in the life of Elijah, that great and mighty warrior, that great man that stood for truth, the man who was valiant for truth and for righteousness. And here we find that even in the light of victory and triumph, sad to say, he was a man that went through the dark shadows of depression. As we read this passage of God's word, you'll notice that he came to the point where he just wanted to throw in the towel. He wanted to quit the job. But God, in the midst of it all, God graciously drew near. His physical strength, his nervous energy was completely exhausted. As far as his body was concerned, he couldn't take a step further. He felt the loneliness of his position. In two things, he said, I only am left. He felt he was all alone. He felt as if there wasn't another person. There wasn't another person to stand by him. He says, I only am left. Now the Lord said he would 7,000 that would never bow the knee to Baal. But Elijah, in the midst of this darkness and in the midst of the shadow of life, he felt that he was all alone. You know, there is a difference between company and companionship. There's a vast difference between those. Listen, you could stand in a company. You could stand in a crowd of people and yet have no companionship. Just feel absolutely and totally all alone. You say, well, surely that couldn't happen if there's people around you. Yes, friend, there are around you. But there is not the sympathy. You haven't their heart. You haven't their sympathy. You haven't their love. And you stand in the midst of a crowd. And just like Elijah, he was all alone. But you know, here he felt the loneliness of his position. Of course, he himself, you remember, it took himself out, away even from his servant. He could have had the company of the young servant. But he took himself away and he went a day's journey away into the wilderness alone. And then he turned himself away from God. He got his eyes on his circumstances instead of the Lord. And friend, that's a very lonely position to be in. When you get your eyes no longer on the Lord, when you take your eyes of the Lord, and you get your eyes upon the storm, you get your eyes upon the circumstance. You know, while the Lord was always before him, he was fearless. He faced the enemy. He faced the prophets of Baal. He faced even Ahab the king. He faced all the opposition of hell. And as the Lord was before his eyes and he got his eyes upon the Lord, he was fearless. But when he got his eyes taken up on Jezebel and the threats that were against him, and he got his eyes on his circumstances, then we find that he was full of fear. You know, he said there in verse 4, he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and he quested for himself. He just felt he was all alone. And he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it's enough now, O Lord. Take away my life. Let me tell you, friend. If God had taken Elijah at his word that day, he would have gone home under a shadow. If God had taken with his word, he said, Lord, it is enough. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. What would the enemy have said? What would Ahab have said? Oh, how Jezebel would have rejoiced. And he would have died under a cloud. And he would have missed all the blessing that God had promised for him. Because let me tell you, if God had taken away his life that day, he would have been missed sweeping into heaven in a chariot of fire. He'd have missed so much of the blessing that God had planned and God had ordained. Listen, wasn't God merciful to him? Wasn't God merciful to Elijah that he said no to that prayer? And you know, sometimes whenever you and I get into depression or you and I get into a valley experience and we say, Lord, like the psalmist, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, that I could fly away and be at rest. Friend, listen, if God were to answer that prayer, what blessing would miss out? What blessing God has for us to live for him. It wasn't his time to go. God wanted him to stay. God had more work for him to do. And I'm glad that the eye of the pity of God followed every step of his servant. Even when he was running for his life, the eye of God's pity followed him every step of the way. I'm going to say something else. And you see, whenever he sat down under that juniper tree depressed, and he says, oh God, it's enough, take away my life. Let me tell you, God did not love him less that day because of his depression. God didn't love him less. God loved him the same. God says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And God didn't love him less, but what God did was God ministered to his needs. And God provided the cake that was baking on the coals, and God provided the cruse of water that was at his head, and the angel of the Lord touched him and said, rise and eat and drink. And God refreshed him by the food and by the sleep. And then Elijah resumes his journey across the desert. And he comes to Horeb, verse 8. He comes to Horeb, the mount of God. Do you remember what Horeb was, where Horeb was? And the significance of it? It was there that the bush burned with fire, but wasn't consumed. God's presence. It was here that the law was given. It was here that Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights alone with God. And he comes to Horeb, the mount of God. But notice when he comes to Horeb, the mount of God, he hides himself in a cave. He goes into the darkness again. And he goes into a cave, it says, verse 9, and he came thither onto a cave, and he lodged there. And can you see him sitting there in the cave in the midst of the darkness, and he lies down there in the darkness? What's God going to do now, friend? Yes, God provided him the food. Yes, God provided him the rest. He was exhausted. His body was depleted of all its strength. But God gave him the food, and he went 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of that meat. And then he comes to the cave, and he hides himself in the cave. And there we find, as he lies there in the cave, God comes and God challenges his cave. And this is what God says, what doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing here? You see, there is a time when God met his need. There was a time when God nursed him. And God loved him in a wonderful way to nurse him through that time of exhaustion, that time of depletion. But now we find that God challenges him. God challenges him. And God says to him, listen, what doest thou here, Elijah? First of all, what doest thou, Elijah? What are you doing, Elijah? And the answer was, nothing. He was doing nothing. Yes, God had provided him food, and God had provided him meat, and God had provided him drink, and God had provided him rest. What doest thou, Elijah? What are you doing with all the blessing that I have given bestowed upon you? And then he says, what doest thou here, Elijah? Then to be honest, he was a long way from the place where he ought to have been. You know, Have you been in places where you ought not to have been this week? Has God been saying to you, have you been sitting in places and God says, listen, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Have you been in places, friend, this week as a child of God, and yet you've sat down in places where you ought not to have been, and God has challenged your heart and said, what are you doing here? You're my child. You're my child. And God challenges Elijah, and he's far from the place which is appropriate than the place where he ought to have been. And he was doing nothing for God. And God challenges him, and God says, what are you doing? What doest thou here, Elijah? Now Elijah answers God. Notice what he said. He says, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, they have thrown down thine altars. They have slain thy prophets with a sword, and I even only I am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Friend, let me tell you, all that he said concerning Israel was true. They had forsaken the word of God. They had forsaken the worship of God. They had forsaken the workers of God. Yes, everything he said was true. But notice what he said. And God says, what are you doing here? He says, I have been very jealous for the Lord of hosts. Notice the tense. I have been. Past tense. He didn't say, I am jealous. He says, I have been. And is that true, my friend, for you? And for me, where we can look back and we can say, yes, I have been very jealous. And maybe there's someone here this morning and you remember a time in your life when you were jealous for the Lord of hosts and the glory of the Lord of hosts and the honor of his name. But be honest before God, you have to say, I have been. The reason why that he was there, my friend, in reality and not cave hiding himself was because he was running for his life. He was no longer standing up for God. He was no longer taking a stand for God. He was no longer standing in the gap for God. That's past. He did that on Mount Carmel. But he's not doing it in Mount Horeb. Yes, it is true that he was jealous for the Lord of hosts. And it was true that the children of Israel had forsaken the covenant and thrown down the altars and slain the prophets with a sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And now he's just running for his life. Like a coward. And God says, Elijah, what are you really doing here? And God says, verse 11, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. There passed by a great and strong wind which rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rock before the Lord. The Lord was not in the wind, and then the wind, after the wind, an earthquake. The Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, it's still a small voice. Notice, God says, go forth. It doesn't say that he moved. It didn't say that he moved. But God graciously came and God graciously spake to him in that still small voice. And then it says, verse 13, and it was so when Elijah heard the still small voice, he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and he stood in the entering of the cave. And God challenged again, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said again, I have been jealous, or very jealous, for the Lord of hosts. In verse 15, and the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And God gave him a job to do, friend. And he took his worker out of the valley of depression, and he gave him a job to do. And when Elijah fully obeyed the Lord, and when he walked in the ways of God, thank God, immediately his spirit was lifted, his vision was cleared, his commission was renewed, for God had spoken to him, and he listened, and the dark clouds were gone. Maybe there's someone here under the shadow of depression this morning. Oh, that you would hear the still, small voice of God, friend, as he speaks to us through his word. And oh, that we would have ears that are attentive. Oh, that we might listen. Maybe you're looking for some great outward miracle. You're looking for the voice of God and the earthquake. Or maybe you're wanting God to shake you with the wind. Or maybe you want God to move with the fire. And yet God speaking the still small voice. He speaks through his word, friend. Let God speak to your heart the word that nobody else can speak. Get to the book of God, friend. Get to the word of God. Get your eyes upon the Lord. And whenever Elijah listened to the word of God, he was encouraged, he was edified, and he was enabled to serve the Lord. And friend, you can be encouraged. And you can be edified. And you can be enabled to serve the Lord just like Elijah. You know, David was a king. He was a great champion. Do you remember he slew the mighty Goliath? Goliath came against him, and yet he stood out in front of the armies of the Philistines and that mighty Goliath, and he slew the enemy with a stone. And the enemy Goliath came falling down. And yet, David was slain. Slain with depression. You'll notice in the Psalms, turn with me just for a few moments, friend. In the Psalms, how that David himself in his life, quite often, he faced the the darkness of his life. And turn to Psalm 38 for a moment. And Psalm 38, you go to verse 1, it says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrow stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with loathsome disease. And there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. Well, let me look. You see a man here in distress, don't you? You see a man here broken? And yet he was the one that faced the mighty Goliath. He was the one that slew Goliath and came forth as a mighty victor. He was the one that faced the giants that came against him and the armies that faced him. And friend, yet he came forth a conqueror. Saul has slain 1,000 and David has tens of thousands. And yet, friend, he's slain here. Turn to Psalm 43. In Psalm 43, Look there at verse 5. And it's a part that's quite often quoted, friend, over and over again. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Psalm 43, verse 5. O my soul, and why art thou disquiet within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Psalm 42 and verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep, but the noise of thy water sprouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Psalm 77, we read it this morning. And friend, as we read that psalm, can you not see him? In verse 1, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. And he gave ear unto my prayer. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot sleep. I have considered the days of old, the years of the ancient. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Yes, David, in his life he felt his helplessness. He felt his hopelessness. He knew his sleeplessness. And he knew depression. And one day he cried, oh, that I had the wings of a dove, that I could just fly away and be at rest. How true are those words, friend? Turn to 2 Corinthians for a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are distressed, verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are persecuted or perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Troubled, perplexed, persecuted, cast down. Is that how you feel? Let me say something very quickly, friend. How do we deal with that need? How do we deal with it? I say, first of all, this morning, admit the problem. It is not sin to be depressed. The cure begins with a tough look at yourself. And I believe we must look at ourselves and admit that we need help. That's one of the biggest problems. Men and women admitting that they need help. In the midst of the depression, admit the problem. Then secondly, share the burden. Tell the Lord. Open your heart to God, friend. Open your heart to God. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says,
casting all your care upon Him. For He careth for you. You're bottling it up in your life. You're bottling it up in your heart. You don't share. You can't tell anyone. Listen, tell the Lord. He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him, friend. He careth. He careth. Remember that. He careth for you. Share the burden. And then if there is some believing friend, some Christian friend, someone, friend, who's in touch with God. And the sad thing is this, friend, I say this sadly, you cannot share the burden with every friend. I only wish you could. But the Word of God says in Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Someone in touch with God, not someone in touch with man. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Thirdly, rest the body. And that's not just a simple thing, friend. Rest the body. You know, as we read the Psalm there, you see the body was tossing. You know, you see how he couldn't sleep. He tossed and he turned, he tossed and he turned. But you need rest for the body. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 it says, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Your body needs rest. That's what God gave to Elijah. When Elijah was in the valley of depression, friend, the Lord first of all let him rest. Then he gave him food and water. And then he let him rest again. He realized that the body needed rest. And God miraculously provided food and water. He strengthened him by his rest. And then he nourished him. He fed him. And Elijah was able to go forward in the strength. See, quite often when people are in depression, friend, they don't neither want to eat or drink. And they just shut themselves away alone. And their mind is in such turmoil, they just don't know what way to turn. And it's just like the raging sea, foaming to and fro. As you admit your need, as you share your problem, as you rest your body, then I believe there's one final step, and that is praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Get your eyes upon the Lord. We read in Psalm 43, in the verse 5, Psalm 43 and verse 5, these words. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And as you get your eyes on the Lord and you realize that God is bigger than all of your problems and God's bigger than all of your fears, and you bring God into the situation, friend, and know that He is your hope. Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him in everything. Give thanks. You say, preacher, but I haven't much to give thanks for. Friend, you have, you know. If you're a child of God, let me tell you, you have a soul that will never be in hell. One day the storms will pass forever, and there'll be no more night, and there'll be no more tears, and there'll be no more pain, and there'll be no more sorrow. and praise God that no more is for all eternity. Further along, we know all about it. Further along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Just surrender your life in God's hands, friend. Just hand it over to God. And say, Lord, Thou art my hope. Thou art my strength. Lord, You're the God of eternity. You're the God of my circumstances. And You promise that You'll work all things together for good. For I love You, Lord. I love You, Lord. Friend, I say this in closing. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, you have no anchor, you have no hope. And you can't praise Him. May God bring you to a faith in Him. Get to the cross. Get to Calvary. He was wounded for all my transgressions. He was bruised for all mine iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him. And praise God, with His stripes I'm healed. What a Savior. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we come to Thee in the precious name of Thy Son. And I thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art our hope. We thank Thee that Thou art our refuge and strength, our hiding place, our shelter for the time of storm. And, O God, I pray that everyone in this service this morning might humble themselves before Thee. Not only acknowledge, O God Almighty, that Thou art the God of heaven and earth, but acknowledge Thy Son as their personal Savior and their personal Lord. Apply the blood this morning to every sin-stained heart. And Thou hast promised in Thy word that our sins and iniquities wilt Thou remember no more. Thou hast promised that if we confess our sin, that Thou, O God, art faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Thou hast promised Thy people that Thou wilt never leave them and Thou wilt never forsake them. He'll go with me all the way. Shepherd is with Thy blessing. And even this morning, bring sinners to Christ and bring the backslider home, for Jesus' sake.